hosted by Jason Bryan and providing the latest insights on telecoms trends from around the world. This is Rocco Radio.
E-payments clearly provides full control on settlement and payments, therefore without enforcing any payment cycle, unless is the customer himself who wants to use this application according to a certain schedule.
Welcome to Eureka, the podcast from Rocco Radio that untangles the wires and dives deep into the heart of the ever-evolving telecoms industry, focused on innovation. I'm your host, Jason Bryan, and I'm here to bring you the hottest trends, the insider insights, and most importantly, the interviews with the winners of the Innovators 2023 and the Genesis and Roaming and Messaging Hackathons. Whether you're a tech enthusiast, a business leader, or just curious about how innovation is developing in our industry, this series is for you. You can also check out the fifth issue of Rocco Genesis magazine, available at leading industry events and online for all the interviews and other industry news. Listen out at the end of this podcast for how to register for the Innovators and Hackathons 2024, the results of which will be presented next May at the Genesis event in Seville, Spain. In this podcast, we meet Mauro Merle, who came in first place in this year's Innovators. Let's have a listen to how Confone won and what they thought of the experience.
Well, it's a great pleasure to be here with Mauro Merle from Confone. Mauro, how are you doing today?
Oh, fine. Thank you, Jason. What about yourself?
Pretty good, pretty good. Enjoying the intense summer here in the south of Spain. I know you recognize that from your background as an Italian. The fantastic summers are upon us. And yeah, no, it's great to be here with you. Obviously, we know each other for a long time in the industry.
Absolutely. And
it's always great to kind of see the progress your colleagues make in the industry and how they develop themselves, how their work is going towards achieving something, right? So it was a real pleasure to have you at the Genesis event this year and for you to be recognized for the Innovators. We're going to talk about that throughout this podcast because it's a fantastic achievement. But first, let me ask you to introduce yourself to our listeners, the company, a little bit about the company and what your role is.
Okay, with pleasure. So I'm the director of client services here at Confone. For those who don't know, Confone is a Swiss-based company acting in the roaming industry. Confone recently celebrated the 25th birthday and is still offering a full portfolio of roaming services through the Keytron platform. It includes clearing, hubbing, IPX, and data management service. And we have currently a customer base of 500 plus between MNOs, MVNOs, and other industry players worldwide. So what about myself? Oh, here we go with warm memories. Try to keep it short. But actually, I started a long time ago, many moons, as a friend would say, in 1992. I joined Team Italy, which is the current name, because those days it was called SIP. Then I participated to the launch of the first private Italian mobile network operator. That was called Omnitel Pronto Italia those days, but later on became Vodafone Italy. Finally, in 1998, I moved to Switzerland and joined Confone. As you can imagine, the company was slightly different those days. It was just being created as a joint venture between Swisscom and Vodafone. And that is actually where the name Confone comes from, because it is Swisscom and the Vodafone. So this is Confone. First project there was the rollout of the first technical roaming hub. Those days it was called the GCS, Global Cellular Service. I think it's still in operation after all these years. And the next assignment was to develop the first financial clearing system. Those days, financial clearing as a service was moving the first steps in the industry. And since then, as you can imagine, there were many other projects, and even I moved to different positions through the next 25 years, until some years ago, I took the responsibility for clearing services. So this long journey in the roaming business also gave me the opportunity to, let's say, contribute a bit to defining several GSMA standards, some of them we defined themselves, as you remember, Jason. I could chair some working groups at GSMA. I could design in parallel the clearing architecture of the Comfort Key to Roam hub, which most probably today is the largest hub on this planet in terms of connected operators and live roaming connections. And I even had the opportunity to invent some of the acronyms, which later on became, I hear you laughing, actually, but that's true. I mean, common use in the industry, like alias study code, RTDRs, EID, RICS, op data, I mean, all this stuff was invented during meetings, as we both remember. More recently, how I call it, the rise of the machine, and the new BC standards have been some of the last challenges I was asked to be confronted with. And that results in the enrichment of our clearing portfolio with a new product, which is called Phoenix. Phoenix went live in 2021 and generated the first commercial BC NBI IoT invoice in April 2021. So basically setting a new milestone in Confon history and definitely in my personal career. The continued evolution of the roaming environment has also been quite inspiring, like I would say source of business requirements to evolve our clearing services, triggering the development of a number of solution, Confon solution, applications like CDR tracing, financial tracker, and of course, e-payments, which is, by the way, the reason we are here, as this was the award-winning solution at Genesis 2023. And I hope this gives possibly a short overview on the various topic that I was trying to address.
Oh, you're bringing back so many memories and so many.
I can imagine
from the past. Of course, no. I mean, it's the acronyms are fundamental. I had to laugh there because, of course, that's the biggest challenge for so many people in our industry. You speak the language of our industry, you know, and that is something that's quite hard and challenging to uncover. So, yeah, well, congratulations. I think it's a story of dedication, right? A dedication to the industry and also through to clearing and to see it progress and develop. The biggest part is how challenging that is to do something globally. And we both know from, like you said, the GSMA working groups, it's an exciting thought to be able to develop something globally and for it to be rolled out in every operator around the world. But it's also a huge challenge. And even with the standards organization behind us, it's that you have to really be patient. And I can see all your time in Confons, you've had a lot of patience, but you still kept going and focused on what you need to do. You're right. You've been ranked number one in the innovators. And it's an amazing achievement, I think. A lot of other companies have been in the innovators a few years, hoping to get in the top three, and you guys swooped in there, went straight into the first position. How did it feel to be shortlisted and presenting live at Genesis and in front of those lions?
Well, I mean, the fact that e-payments passed the first toll gate of the innovation selection process for me was already a great achievement. Last but not the least, because this was giving us a direct feedback from the industry about the value of the solution. We know that e-payments was already well received within the community of our FC customers, but actually the voting process confirmed the validity of that solution outside of that community. So for me, this was a very valuable confirmation. About presenting live in Lisbon, well, especially presenting to the Lions was quite an interesting experience. I mean, being confronted with industry experts of that level is always quite a challenge, but I think it's also a great opportunity, let's say, to get some valuable feedbacks from such people. And besides all that, and this is more personal, being on stage, fully exposed to the audience and to the Lions, well, definitely made me also a bit quite nervous. As I always said, you know, I'm not a showman.
No, but you're used to performing, I think, in front of, as a chair of a working group, you're used to being in the center of, let's say, attention, but also you're aware of the diversity of people in front of you. I think you did extremely well. I mean, there was no doubt in my mind. This is your forte. This is where you kind of in your comfort zone in a way.
Thank you.
Can we recap then on the solution itself and the problem that it was trying to solve?
Yes, with pleasure. So ePayments was designed to allow our financial clearing customers to control directly the settlement and payment process of credits and debts. As everybody knows, those credits and debts are generated periodically from the reconciliation of roaming traffic invoices, which are exchanged with the roaming partners. Due to historical and practical reason, a long time ago, those who are in the industry since then can remember that financial clearing houses, they introduced a settlement and payment process based on the concept of payment cycles. Payment cycles are required implicitly as the customer PMN and the financial clearing agent would first need to agree on the payables and receivables to be settled during a specific month. And then the FCA, once this agreement would have been reached, would then execute the resulting payments to the roaming partners on behalf of the customer. Now, this procedure, as you can imagine, required a lot of interactions between the parties. So you are forced to work on a snapshot of the positions. So that this means also that anything that wouldn't have been included in that payment cycle would have to wait until the next payment cycle, the next month. And this would give, obviously, an impact on cash flow. The analogy which I always use to visualize this fact is like, that just try to imagine if your bank would allow you to withdraw cash from an ATM machine only on a specific date of the month. This would not be, let's say, accepted so easily. So ePayments tried to resolve this issue by removing the need of the interaction between the customer PMNs and the and Confond's FCA or a representative. So, let's say the account manager that is managing all the accounts for that particular customer, and is doing this by providing a 24/7 e-banking-like application. So this application allows to select autonomous the position to be settled and to execute the related resulting payments at any point in time. So basically we disrupt the concept of the payment cycle. And this is, I would say, something that the app achieved very well. But of course, it's doing much more than that. For instance, it grants access to real-time data and not to snapshot or static reports, because data tend to change throughout this process as new invoices are produced or netted off or reconciled. So it is a bit of a moving target, and the apps allow the required flexibility to accommodate those changes. It provides also the same security level as any banking application. It enforces also that each payment can only be authorized by predefined users, according to the internal approved process of the organization and not the one defined by Comfort. So it can really adapt to the various use cases as applicable to each customer organization. It also supports the automatic selection of the outstanding position by using a certain level of automation defined by pre-selected criteria that the user can configure, and then just by with one click, the app would select this position. It also provides access to bank account statement without the need to connect physically to the bank, as the application is interfaced to the bank, and provides also all the details of each bank transaction to the lowest detail. I'm talking about if you want, you can even download the PDF or the invoice, which is something that a pure banking application would do because they don't have access to that piece of information. And of course, it monitors also the execution of each payment through the process flow, providing logs, and therefore is very useful in case of audits or external audits like we do in Comfort to certify our services. In a nutshell, the basic workflow consists in four easy steps. Step one is on the user side, and he has to select the position that he wants to settle. As I said, this can be done manually, one by one, or automatically by using a predefined set of criteria, just with a single click. The second step is the approval. So the application automatically generates e-payment orders that will have to undergo the approval process, and the apps allow up to three separated electronic signatures. From then on, the other two steps are fully automated, so no action required from the customer side. So once approved, the application breaks down the e-payment into the individual payments to the roaming partner and automatically execute them by sending them to the bank for execution. And then, thanks to this same interface with the bank, the status of each payment that has been submitted is automatically monitored and reported back transparently to the customer once the execution is completed. And basically, that is all. So it's, in a way, more complex to describe it than to use it in practice, I would say. E-payments clearly provides full control on settlement and payments, therefore, without enforcing any payment cycle, unless is the customer himself who wants to use this application according to a certain schedule. But it's not imposed by us. It is available 24/7 on Pulse, which is a Comfort Online business portal. And I would say it's also quite efficient and easy to use. To date, all Comfort Financial Crane customers use e-payments, including Key to Rome Hub. So we even have internal users for this app. It's a sort of dog fooding. This large adoption also testifies that e-payments is compatible with basically any customs banking setup. And it is also certified with a SOC certification and is audited on an yearly basis by external audits. So just to summarize this long speech, I would say that the e-payment can be considered the first software as a service in the financial clearing landscape. Its motto is pay what you want when you want. That would be it.
Indeed. No, I mean, I'm nodding here. You can't see because obviously we're in a podcast, but I'm nodding because obviously I did work for a clearinghouse in the past, and I can say this is pretty revolutionary what you guys have developed. Well, what inspired you? I mean, was it listening to customers? What was it that kind of like drove you to kind of push in this direction?
A number of requirements, last not least, the operational complexity of this payment cycle solution. We had before another app, as in Comfort, you know, we always promote a certain level of automation as much as possible. But it would always still require some time of interaction, physical interaction between a financial crane coordinators and the customer. So the real requirement was, can we make it fully automated, like an e-banking application, where basically, if we really think about it, what the bank has done was to outsource to us users the full control of our payment. So I said, if banks can do it, why the same principle cannot be applied in financial clearing? And that was the beginning of a very nice journey, which then later on brought us to the rollout of this application.
So what were your feelings when you received the award then, first please?
Well, I mean, needless to say, I was proud about the result. Although, and I'm honest here, first place was not really expected, considering the other valuable solutions which were presented. So I was also there listening to those presentations. So I would expect a good ranking, but I was not hoping on the first place. So let me say that it was really a very nice surprise.
So, with that in mind, what would you recommend to new or potential participants?
Well, I mean, besides having a valid innovative solution for a problem that really occurs in the industry, which is, in my opinion, the fundamental recommendation, but it would be very, very important how the solution will be presented to the voting audience. My recommendation would be to focus mainly on the values and the benefits that the solution brings, rather than on complex technical explanation that, you know, due to the variety of the people in the audience, this may be, in some cases, even confusing. So in such an area, most of the time, the experience shows that that less is more.
Would you recommend taking part in the innovators to companies then, based on your success, your experience?
No, but exactly. Based on my experience, definitely I would recommend it, because for a number of reasons. First of all, it is a great opportunity to verify the effective value of an innovative solution or innovative idea in an unbiased environment, because there are you're exposed basically to quite a huge audience, either indirectly or directly, then in case, of course, the solution is shortlisted that has to be presented.
Yeah.
This also means that it's possible to promote it to quite to the same large audience, which is also good. But on another note, it's also a great opportunity to hear about other innovations, as well as on market trends and expectations, maybe something that internally in our companies we are not considering. So I would say yes, definitely. A strong recommendation to attend it.
Yeah, I think the thing for me is that here the operators can steer us or steer the vendor community a little bit better as to kind of what they're looking for in a solution. We can really find out what their requirements, the details of what they're, how they're thinking. I mean, a lot of them, the Lions did a lot of prep for this, so they looked through all the solutions in detail, and I think, yeah, it's really a great achievement, I would say. So one thing about Confone, of course, we know everybody in the industry knows Confone for many, many years, and it has, of course, feeling of excellence about it, your events, your the way that you encompass the industry ecosystem, the way you work with it, your success with the hub. You are, for me, an innovative company. Would you say you have this culture? Would you say you have an innovation culture?
Well, I believe that Confone is perceived definitely as one of the industry shaper, and that implies also being innovative, at least as far as the room business is concerned. The very well-known service portfolio and the number of state-of-the-art applications that we have developed throughout the years differently testify that, let's say, the innovative spirit is an integral part of Confone DNA, I would say.
I'm going to throw in a question from the side here, but do you think our industry is in general thinking innovatively, or is it some, I mean, yeah, I think you're probably going to have a long answer to this one, but do you see that we're all in line working in the same mission, working on the same objective?
Mm-hmm.
Vendors together?
Very difficult questions. I mean, if I think about what is happening on, especially on the definition of new standards, what should be the future, I have the feeling that the older spirit is a bit lost. And now this could be justified by different reasons. Is either companies not having any longer the resources to invest in defining such innovations, because that's what we are talking about. Mm. Or maybe they just prefer to follow what others defined. I'm more of the opinion of the first statement, that there is a clear lack of resources to invest in innovation.
Ah.
On the other hand, the other obstacle is that innovations also means to challenge what we have done over the last 25 years. So it also means to step out of the comfort garden that each of us has created throughout our careers. And that is maybe the challenge, as this is a very specific type of business. I'm talking about roaming, of course, with a very limited number of participants. So what could happen is that the representatives of those companies may have lost a bit of the spirit, of the innovation spirit, and would prefer to stay in the comfort zone.
Mm.
And that could be an issue, because it jeopardizes the evolution of not only of the standard, but the business itself. Or better, I mean, I always refer to the standard because I'm pretty much convinced that one of the reasons why roaming was so successful as a business was because behind there was a very good the standardization of the various processes. That definitely helped the adoption of those standards and therefore pushed the business to the level we know now. I think we are now at a turning point because of new technologies which are coming, but then if I look to the requirements, the problem that we are trying to solve or that the commercial groups are tabling are not really related much to the new technology, rather than to solve existing mm-hmm. complexity issues in the industry, like facilitating, for instance, the discount agreement, and more in the wholesale world amongst the various PMNs, allowing the entrance of new players who may not have all this background of how we used to do things over the last 25 years and would like to come with a more innovative idea. So I do see this conflict a bit in the industry now, and I hope it will be resolved as soon as possible for the sake of the business itself.
You've identified, really, it is a critical moment in our industry, because we have 5G, we have the quality differentiation coming with network slicing, we have private networks, we have potentially GSM satellite. There's so many things diverging in the roaming space. So it's a huge opportunity, actually, to progress into another phase of roaming. And for sure, we need to have a focus on innovation, get the people motivated and pushed to this next step. And, you know, I mean, for me, you're somebody who's really dedicated to the industry, and it's always great to hear your thoughts about it. So what is next? What is next? Let's say in Colfon, any more ideas for the future? Can we expect another solution to be presented?
Personally, I'm currently busy with the evolution of the BCE standard, and of course, as a byproduct with new innovative service ideas, which for obvious reasons I cannot disclose now, but maybe they will become potential candidates for the Innovators 2024 initiative. So who knows? Let's wait and see.
Indeed. No, we have to, once again, congratulations on this achievement. And as I said, there's a number of other companies vying for, let's say, to be recognized in this way. So it is very interesting to see Confone there. No question that was that you guys are doing innovative work. So it's great to see your solutions there. And Mauro, it's a pleasure to chat with you. We look forward to see what Confone is up to next and to hear more about your events. And yeah, look forward to seeing you very soon in the industry.
Definitely. Thanks a lot for this opportunity.
Thanks. It's been great chatting to you.
Well, that's a wrap for today's episode of Eureka. We hope you enjoyed learning about how companies face innovation opportunities. If you're hungry for more, we've got a whole series of episodes lined up for you. Remember to give your feedback on LinkedIn, and don't forget, your feedback fuels our mission to keep you at the forefront of the telecoms innovation. If you want to contribute to the Innovators 2024, the registration period is now open. Just email hq@rocco.group to find out more. Registration closes on the 22nd of December. On the 22nd of November, we also start registering teams for the Roaming and Messaging Hackathons 2024. This year, the challenges will be revealed on the 22nd of Jan. If you remember last year, it was a great opportunity to demonstrate how your team has the capability to respond to challenges raised by mobile operators and enterprises in our industry. Important to note, nominations for Rocco 100 are also currently open and close on November the 6th. Don't forget to recognize someone you admire who has made a difference in the last 2 years. Until next time, stay wired, stay inspired, and keep the conversations flowing. This is Jason Bryan signing off. Many thanks for listening to Rocco Radio.